Right. Welcome everyone to new Windows Phone Mango application platform services. So basically this is a part one and part two. Part two is Friday morning, first session, 8:15. Unfortunately, I couldn't move it because everyone likes to party and carry on Thursday night, but Friday morning is the first thing, unfortunately. So today, I'm going to cover a whole lot of application platform services, what you get the ability to do in the new Mango tools, and we're also broaching on that some more on Friday. So about 11 months ago last week, Windows Phone 7.0 came out. While everyone was congratulating Microsoft for bringing it out into the ecosystem, there were a few things missing. And we're the first ones to say, yep, we're missing a few things. But it was a fantastic platform. The whole mentality of there's an application for that, there's an application for that, or there's also an application to do something else, didn't really bode well with us. So what we do is to set out to create a concept of hubs. Go to a hub, get access to all the information you need in that hub, perform your tasks, and then go back out of it. So when we launched 10 months ago, we're going up against some pretty good competitors that have been there for a while. So this guy, even though he thinks he's revolutionary and he's healthy for you, go back to that concept of an app for that, an app for that, an app for that. You're putting your trust in all those applications, those credentials for Facebook, for Twitter, for Flickr, for everything else, in all those individual applications. You don't know what... They give you a privacy policy. Does everyone read their privacy policies? And then there's this guy. Even though it looks pretty good for you, their mentality is still an app for that as well. But what they're doing is they just ingest the apps. Sure, they might test it. You don't know what the app's doing with your data. So today, or as of last month basically, Windows Phone 7 Mango RTM'd, one of the best releases that they've ever done for the phone OS in a year basically. It's taken them 10 months to do everything else that was missing: structured data, multitasking, access to contacts and cameras, the works. It's all in there now. So today what we're going to cover, the new motion APIs and camera access, launches and chooses, so the launches and chooses to get access to contacts information, calendar, email, structured data. So when we talk about structured data, it's linked to SQL and it's also linked to contacts and linked to appointments data. Developer tool enhancements. Has anyone even tried to use developer tools for the fruit phones and the donuts? Yes? No? Subpar? Yep, Monotouch? Yep, so you get to use Visual Studio and Android. Yep. One of the best development environments out there is Visual Studio. New APIs and general civil-like goodness in the platform. So when we say sensors in RTM last year, you only got access to the accelerometer. Sure, we realised there's a lot of AR scenarios out there that you require access to gyros and compasses. You're now going to get that by default. I'll do you a quick demo of the new compass sensor. Come on.
Beautiful.
Right. Simple as file, new project, and here we have our Windows Phone application. Let's just put this. And here we're going to create a compass demo. By default now, if you got the new Mango RC tools that were released last week, you get this little pop-up here. You get the choice of targeting 7.0 and 7.1. Don't worry about the text. With OS 7.1, it's actually 7.5, but someone forgot to rename it. We've had lots of discussions about that. But. Right, so here's file new project. We don't really need any of this content, so we'll get rid of it. So if we're going to show, we've got a compass demo, we've got to have an image or a type of an image to represent a compass to show. So first we've got to add access to devices sensors, which is the library that gives you access to all the compass and the gyro. Right, so we've got our compass. Let's add an image control. If you're in next session, Nick loves Expression Blend, although you can do most of the stuff in Visual Studio. I tend to don't like switching too much. It's often a pain. So let's get rid of this, auto size it, and change our background to white. Cool. Now we're ready. So we hook up to the loaded event. We should never do code in the constructor, the default constructor. Always use the loaded event or the unnavigated to event. And because I'm lazy, I'm just going to wire up a quick lambda. Right, so in our loaded event, we need to create a new instance of our compass. So I'll make some more room so you can see. New instance of a compass, and then we want to hook up to two events. Current value changed. Basically, it's going to tell us that the phone's done something. It's moved. It's then going to send it to our little current value changed. So now all we've got to do is back in our image, we've got to say the image has got to rotate with us. So we've got to add a rotate. And spell today. Sorry, render transform. Then it's rotate. Got to name that so we can then set the value we're getting from our compass. Right, so in a current value changed, we're now getting all the feed from our compass. We've got to update that. Because we're getting the data back from the compass on the background thread, you can't just go render transform, update the values. You've got to do the usual deployment. Dispatcher, begin invoke. Then in here we can then update our render transform. So what we're doing is we're then getting the value from the compass, and I'll shift that up for everyone else can see. Then we're inverting that value. When you think about the compass, you've got a true heading, so true heading north, and the value from 0 to 270 or to 360. So you've got to invert it so you can then do a proper render transform. So now we're done, we can do a quick deployment to our phone. Right, so you can't actually see that. work. All right, let me see if I can change the background color for you. That was a short fail. So I missed one thing. So anyone paying attention, see what I missed? What I didn't do when I was wiring up the compass? Bingo. Right. So that's not working either. You worked in the demo. This is the... Can we see it okay? Yep. Right. Finally. So that's the compass. So the problem with that data, as you see, it's jittery. So by default, if you access any compass on any device, you're going to get a lot of interference. So the problem with that interference is you could also be 20 degrees off. So if you're really looking to do a hiking app or a tracking app, when they designed the sensors for Windows Phone, they basically said, all right, we realize there's issues with every single implementation of sensors, be it gyros, accelerometers, anything. So Microsoft Research, being the smart guys they are, ridiculously smart guys they are, came up with this concept of a motion sensor. So what the motion sensor does is it aggregates all the feed from the gyro, the compass, the accelerometer, and gives you the best amount of information possible for you to complete the work you want for the API, for example. So if you were to wire up the motion sensor the exactly same way you wire up the compass sensor, the compass will be steady and you're getting the true value. Availability. So when they updated the hardware requirements for Mango, what they said was, yep, we agreed that there needs to be gyros and we agreed there needs to be compass access to everyone. It's not mandatory. So LG or HTC or anyone else that can go out and make a Mango phone but not give you a gyro or a compass. So when you're developing your apps for that, you always should check compass is available, gyro is available, motion sensor is available. All that kind of stuff. It makes it nice and easy for you. So one thing we didn't do in RTM when we realized it was a sort of a big issue, we didn't give you raw access to the camera feed. So there goes the AR demos by default, basically. So now in Mango, if any of the Silverlight developers out there? Yeah, it's still live, don't worry about it. The webcam API from Silverlight 4, exactly same code, ported straight across to the phone. You don't have to modify it all. And we've got a new managed API, photo camera class. Accessing photo camera class, three lines of code, new open instance, focus the camera, when it's completed, wipe your completed event, and capture the image, basically. Pretty simple. And we'll do a quick walkthrough of what it is now. New project, 1.5, need that one. Let's make this easier. Again, we don't need all this, and we don't need this. So what we're going to do is we're going to display an image. Actually, no, we're not going to display it. We're going to have a grid, and in that grid, the grid's background is going to be a video brush. So the video brush is going to be the raw feed that we're getting straight from the camera. And then we want a button for that to say, take a capture image of the feed, what you can see, basically. So I just need to add a couple of columns put out capture button. Com2. Alright, so this is what our layout's going to look like. Well, it's missing one thing. We're going to make it landscape. Right, so that looks pretty good. Let's then wire up the click event for our button. Straight into code. So back to our the photo camera class, for example, it's pretty simple. Photo camera. So all those. So can you see the? So all those people that were worrying about whether there's a front-facing camera coming in Mango or not. It's in the API, so of course there's going to be a front-facing camera coming. Sorry? Front-facing cameras are from memory. Actually, sorry, no, I take that back. No, they're not, so you only all need to check. But I will chase that one up straight after this for you. Back again. Load up our event. So with our photo camera, what you need to do is there's a couple of events you need to look to wire up to. Capture completed. If you want to increment the value to say you've taken five or six photos. Capture image available to say that's going to get fired when, yep, you've actually got an image available, then you can process the image and do what you want with it. Right, so then we've got camera. You want to focus it, then we want camera.take capture image. Right, so now we've got an image. We've got to do something about it. So in the XNA libraries, you get access to add the image into the media library. Pictures, add. It's not, actually, no, sorry, it's not a collection. Say picture. So here you specify name. And we can specify the source of the image, so image stream, basically. So instead of save picture, we want save picture to camera roll. So that's going to save it to the camera roll. And that's it. Right, now we're ready to go. So let's deploy this to our device. Sorry? Good man. Good spotting. Right, now we deploy it to our phone. So now we're going to kick up this little fancy app. So I'll put your hands up and say, this is an awesome session in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Then we nav straight to our pictures. Now, unfortunately, the light didn't help us, but that's how easy it is to get raw access. I'll show you the camera feed again. So the interesting thing about this, even though you get raw access to the camera feed, it's 10 frames a second. So it's enough to suffice the AR demos. But if you need more than 10 frames a second, come and see me afterwards, and I'd love to have a chat and talk about the scenarios of what you want to use it with. So back to our camera API scenarios. You've got the photo camera class to take high quality shots, enabling the hardware button of the, so all phones have got a hardware photo camera button. You get access to that when using the photo camera class. And webcam, Silverlight 4, reuse of the webcam knowledge, easy to deploy to target the desktop and the phone, and recording audio and video to a file. For video specifics, we say you're going to get video output as MP4 by default. If you want raw access, use Y or YUV access for image for video processing, and always check for device flash support. Structured data. So back in RTM days in 7.0, there was always SQL CE on the device. You just didn't get a managed API access to it. Now in Mango you do, but you only get linked to SQL access. You don't get T-SQL. So you can't write select star from table blah. So it's all linked to SQL. So generate your link statements, and that's executed as soon as you access the collection. The architecture. Anyone use Code First with any framework? Yep. Exactly the same architecture now. Create a DB context, create a DB set, and all you do is attribute your tables and your columns, and I'll show you a quick demo after this. Schema upgradable, and also submit transactions. So if you're updating your application and your database is packaged with your ZAP file, it's always good to upgrade your schema if you made new changes to update the schema versions. Then all it is DB context.update schema. One line of code for you, and we handle the rest. So also with structured data, we've given you link to user access. So when we've given you link to user access, you can use link to query the contacts and appointments databases. But if you want specific access to it, we've given you APIs to do that without using link. So link isn't as performant as the direct search query APIs we've given you, but you can still use that. So there's three new launches and choosers. So email task chooser, phone number task chooser, and just task chooser. All aptly named. You can access the email address, phone number, and actual physical address of that contact. So now I'll show you a quick demo of how to whip up a database context. Simple reference, system data, SQL, dot link. So we'll create a simple person class, and a person class is going to have our, as usual, our first name. Last name and attributes. So we're all familiar with POCO. So by default, this isn't going to help us with link to SQL for the phone. So we've got a table attribute we've got to associate on every single class we do. And every column we want persisted, you've got to add a column attribute. So for our ID column, you've got a whole lot of overloads in the ID column. So we want it to be is DB generated. And then this is the primary key. Done. Our POCO class is created. We need to create a DB context. Table of type person, people, done. So that then tells us when we new up a new instance of our DB context, it's going to scan our class, it's going to look for a table person, it's going to serialize that to link to SQL for us. Pretty simple. So with shared data access comes some responsibilities for us, for the phone, and for you, the users of those APIs. So you get read-only access to the contacts and appointments. If you want to add stuff into it, you've then got to use the launchers and choosers. So by default, you get full access to Windows Live Social, the Live Rolodex, Exchange accounts, and operator address books. When it comes to the third-party services we bring into the platform, you don't have access. You've got default access to the contact name and picture in Facebook, but Twitter, LinkedIn, everything else, yeah, by default, privacy policy states that we can't give you access. So, unfortunately, it's not an issue, but that's the way it is, unfortunately. Also, when you link to SQL and querying the contacts data, by default, the contact picture isn't a dependency property. So if you want access to the contact picture, you've got to call get picture, and that then returns you the picture. You shouldn't really be pulling 4,000 items out with all their pictures. It's then going to increase the load of the application from 89 meg to 120 meg, and you'll get rejected from marketplace. So Silverlight goodness. We realized by default when we expanded the regions, so we now support Chinese, Japanese, Hungarian, Russian, and a whole lot of languages. We need to support that in the third-party apps that we enable you guys to develop. So by default now, Silverlight 4 on the device supports all languages and will internationalize the text for you for free. You don't have to do anything. So we now Silverlight 4, you get implicit styles, iCommand support, binding enhancements, I could go on and on and on. So enhancements to rendering the stack, text box events. And anyone use the gesture listener for Windows Phone 7.0? Okay, good, just forget about it. There's now a proper gesture API. So we realized there were some issues with RTM when no one had phones. It was harder to test the scenarios if you had a location base, if you had an accelerometer, or you need to take screen captures, all that kind of stuff. So what we did with the developer tools in the Mango RC is nothing short of brilliant. So it's just made it a whole lot better. One caveat with the emulator though, it is an emulator. It doesn't emulate the performance of the actual phone. You've got a quad-core Xeon with 12 cores and 16 gig of RAM, it's going to run at that. So it's always going to be fast on your emulator. So before you publish it to the marketplace, please test it on a real phone. So this little squiggly line here is new. Give you access to this new panel here. The additional tools. So this additional tools section here is extensible, so you can add your own APIs or your own controls, your own functions here that you want to do to make your development environment better. So by default, we give you access to fake an accelerometer. So if you wanted to fake someone shaking the device, or they're flipping, so they're pitching, they're rolling the device. By default, that's then going to send the raw accelerometer data down the emulator, straight to your application. Right. Sorry, let me fix that. Come on, Wi-Fi work. Right. Location by default, Bing Maps. So there's an address you want your application to check for. Gold Coast. Come on, Wi-Fi. No, it doesn't like me today. Right, so let's drill into the mothership being Microsoft, Redmond Town. You wanted to plot 5 or 6 points. I want to go from this road to this road down here. That's then going to send all that information straight down the emulator again to the application running, and it's going to fake that location data. So another issue that everyone had when submitting applications to the marketplace was the ability to create proper screenshots. So you've got to have a minimum of at least 1 to 2 screenshots when you submit your application for certification. So we've given you a screenshot tool to capture at the right resolution in the right format. I'm saying an issue with my zoom level, but that's fine. Let's make that bigger. Yeah, that's not going to work for me. Sorry, presenter resolution is 1024x768. And that's not going to work. Right. So let's skew it and then zoom in. There we go. That tricked it. So that's going to take a screenshot for you. Obviously not going to look like that properly, but that then you use that screenshot, tag it with your application when you're uploading it to the marketplace, and you get certified. So we RTM'd. So RTM, release to manufacturing, last month. So when we say RTM, we give the ship bits or the bits that we think are final and complete to the OEMs and the manufacturers and everyone else to go and test that with their phones and then start to deploy the test. So what I want you to take out of today, come to the session Friday. So the session Friday is also about multitasking, background agents, background audio, the works. So you don't really want to miss it. Go and get the free tools, create.msdn.com. I don't have any free phones because the Mango phones are, what, a month away at least, I think. So no point giving you a retail RTM one now. Free marketplace accounts. So if you're interested, you're a dev, you don't have an account now, you can't afford the $100, come and see me afterwards. And there's a slide, the next slide, take a picture with your QR scan. That'll then give you a URL, give us your information, and we'll send you out a link to get a free account. And we do have loan phones. If you can't afford a phone, hit us up. We can send you a phone for a couple of weeks, test your application. There's user groups all around the country that also have phones. So if you're stuck and can't afford a phone, come and see us and we'll happily provide you with one. So if you want a free marketplace account, save $100, scan your little QR code or whatever reader you want. If you've got a Mango phone, Bing Vision does it. So that's another thing with Mango. Bing Vision does QR codes and Microsoft tags. Anyone here a registered marketplace developer? Good to see. So this gives you free registration for a year. After that, hopefully you've made enough money to re-register again for us. So we also give you information for free training events. So for Windows Phone developers, for Android developers, for iOS, for Nokia developers, we offer free training for anyone basically to get you started with the tools, put you in contact with the right people to get the work done so you can get your app out there and make you money. So if you get your speaker evals in, you win this Microsoft Touch Mouse, like one like this. It's actually pretty cool. It works. So it's a good mouse. And this Tech Quest, demo only, start scanning people with pink shirts and all that kind of stuff. And that pretty much wraps up the first part. Again, I'm going to rehash we got XNA and game development tomorrow morning, if you're interested in what's coming for that, and multitasking and everything else on Friday. Any questions? Everything that's not desktop specific, so you don't get right click, you don't get out of browser, you don't get NTLM, Kerberos support, and there's something else missing, but hit me up afterwards and I'll find out for you. No one else? Cool. Thank you for the for coming to this session, and that's about it.